Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hello, everyone. I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 6, 2011, episode 222, sponsored today by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
I don't know, that Tuesday opener might have been kind of ironic. We have a lot to talk about today, and a lot of it is about Mother Nature and taking a toll on the horse world here in the United States. But before we get to that, Jamie, how are you moved in? Have you unpacked all the boxes at the new farm?
You know, the entire farm is unpacked, except for the room that I'm currently sitting in right now. The office is full of boxes. And it's just mainly like the bookshelves and the books, because we still are waiting on carpet for one room. So it's still a mess in this room, but, you know, what are you going to do? We did the best we could, and we got horses in. I got horses ridden this weekend. The arena started yesterday, so it is definitely a forward-moving progress from the last time we spoke.
And you like it? It's all good? You wake up in the morning and go, wow, I'm glad to be here?
You know what's really exciting is that there's a pool directly behind my room, right behind the house, like 5 steps behind the back door, and it's completely walled off and private. So there's no need for bathing suits at my new house, and I love it. It's great.
Wow.
You can be riding your horse, and you can be so sweaty because it was godforsaken 112 degrees this weekend, and you just peel off your riding pants, just go on in the pool. It's fine. Nobody can see nothing. It's great.
Okay. Now we know how Jamie rolls there in Phoenix. I hope that wall's really high.
Yeah. I'm only 5'2", Glenn, so it doesn't have to be
true.
That high.
That's true. You know, we got caught skinny dipping once at our farm, so keep that in mind. The neighbor showed up,
what?
And we weren't expecting him. Yeah, we were skinny dipping at our farm. We didn't have such a good fence, but the pool sat down below the house, and you really had to come into the backyard to see the pool. Well, the farmer neighbor who does our hay happened to walk into the backyard and wanted to talk to us about hay, and we're both down there skinny dipping in the pool, so we just meandered up to the edge of the pool and told him he could talk to us from the top of the hill. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I do get worried about the borders. I'm like, okay, do we definitely know that they're not coming because they were here earlier and she's not coming till tomorrow? Okay, we're good.
Yeah, well, you're going to get surprised one of these days. But then that's all part of it. That's all part of it. Well, we have a lot to talk about today, and in relation to the weather and to Mother Nature. We have some guests coming on that are going to give us in-the-field reports of what's going on. A lot of people in the country probably don't realize that the flooding in New York and New England has caused a large number of horses to go missing. And Debbie from Net Posse, I'm stealing all Jennifer's thunder here. I shouldn't do that. But you know, she'll be telling us what's coming up here. But we're going to talk about the fires in Texas, and we're also going to talk about the flooding in the Northeast and how they are affecting horses. So, Jennifer, why don't you tell us what's coming up before I steal your thunder and get in trouble again?
What we're going to have to start doing at the beginning of the show is you play the opener, you say good morning, and then we just duct tape you.
Either that or we just go right to you and Jamie and I don't talk at all. Maybe that's even better.
You know, I'm happy to not do it at all, but tell me so before I waste a lot of mental energy writing it. This is hard for me.
I know. All right. Well, why don't we go to you, and you can tell us what you spent all your mental energy on this morning.
I'm exhausted now. On today's Pfizer Animal Health Tuesday edition, we are in, as Glenn mentioned, disaster mode. Topically for once and not technologically. First up, NetPosse.com founder Debbie Metcalf will be here with an update as well as a call to action regarding the still flooding New England area, because it's not all done and over up there. After that, we're going to lighten the mood just a little bit with Donna Barton Brothers, horsewoman, professional TV commentator, and now author of Inside Track, Insider's Guide to Horse Racing. It's her little contribution to racing fans new and old to help prevent your trip to the races from being a disaster. And after that, we're just going to keep our fingers crossed that we don't create any more disasters of our own. There you go.
Thank you, Jennifer. See, that was much better said than I could say it anyway. So that was much better. Jamie, are you back? You're back with us here?
I am back. Sorry, Jennifer, I missed most of what you said. Fortunately, I've got a little piece of paper that says what you just said, because I had to run out and make sure that my front gate was closed, because my dogs usually sit right outside this window. We have a new window right next to me, and they usually sit out here and stare at me during this show because they want in, and there's a cat in the room with me. So they doubly want in, and I looked outside, and they're not there. And I thought, uh-oh, Chad drove out of the driveway. He left the front gate open. The dogs are running down the road, and this is all happening while I'm sitting right here doing the show. So while you were talking, Jen, I ran out through the entire house, went out the front door, ran all the way down to the gate, made sure it was latched, ran all the way back in, sat back down, and you were still going. So
so already
that's pretty fast.
You've completely blown out of the door my suggestion that we avoid further disaster.
Yes, anyway, yeah. We almost had a further disaster here.
So where are the dogs?
I was trying to avoid. It was closed. They're just sitting out in the front field playing with each other. I don't know. They're just running around being puppies. But I was nervous for a second. I'm like, oh, you know how your brain does the worst? It's like, oh, my gosh, the dogs aren't here. Or you like, oh, where's my horse? I haven't seen my horse. Oh, he's probably in his – he's rolling in his stall right now, and he's colicking, and he's just – oh, my God. You just – your brain starts to think of the worst scenario that's happening. Clearly, if my dogs aren't right here, they're out in the busy road running away.
You know, that, I think that's absolutely true, and I know that happens to Jennifer and I, but with Jennifer and I, it's mostly because most of those things have happened before, and we just don't want them to happen again.
You had your dog running down the road.
That's
oh,
right.
Boy.
We've done all that stuff. We've had our horses in the middle of the road in the middle of the night with people knocking on our door trying to wake us up going, your horses are all over the road. We've had that before. So here's our Daily Whinny for today. This Daily Whinny goes out to the North Texas Equestrian Center, who listens to our show. So hello to everybody, all the girls over there who listen to our show at the North Texas Equestrian Center. We're glad to have you, and we hope fires stay away from you for sure. Do you have one, Jamie?
I do. So it might feel like a Monday morning because all of us had Monday off. All of us except for one person, Glenn. Glenn had to put on a show yesterday all by himself. And I told Glenn, I said, listen, just play some music and be a DJ. I mean, just go have fun with it. Just be, you know, make it the show you've always, be that DJ voice you've always wanted to be. Because, you know, Glenn really wants, every time we talk to somebody with a DJ voice, he's like, oh, you've got the best voice. So I said, Glenn, just go for it. Do what you want to do. Do the show, and I appreciate the day off. So I tuned in a little bit yesterday, Glenn. I didn't
because usually you don't.
Well, it's because I wasn't on the show yesterday, so I could listen to the show yesterday. I just can't listen to myself. So I tuned in, and I don't know what the Hades you were thinking. Because this is Glenn, are you ready for this?
I know which part you had to tune in at that exact moment, didn't you?
This is Glenn yesterday. Okay, here we go.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jack. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I think Jamie's going to love the next song. This is Best We've Ever Heard.
What on earth was that?
That's my best Wolfman Jack impression, too.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jack. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I think Jamie's going to love
that
song. This is Best We've Ever Heard.
You notice which song I played for you.
There was screwed it off. So that was Glenn playing DJ. Well, so you get my daily Whitney because you went to work yesterday, and I really appreciate it. I think you did a fantastic job, Wolfman Jack. By the way, has Wolfman Jack been on the radio since like the 1980s?
No. So that reference will go right over the head of everybody that's under about 40 years old.
That would be me. Because I had to Google Wolfman Jack.
But I'll tell you what, it actually was a pretty good impression. I got to tell you, it was a pretty good impression of Wolfman Jack. He sort of bubbled and didn't say much. The only impression
that.
I do.
One more time.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jack. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I think Jamie's going to love the next song. This is Best We've Ever Heard.
Thanks for that.
Okay, so you're laughing. But while I was looking around, I was also working on the shows for the week we're on vacation, the week of the 19th, and we're putting them some best ofs together. And one of the best ofs is going to be the best of the horse segments, the ones that grossed me out the most. And guess what I found while I was doing that? Guess what's going to be played during the best of the horse segment or show that we're going to have coming up? How about you singing the sheath cleaning song?
Oh, no.
I found that.
You don't have it. Oh, okay, you don't have it right now. Phew.
No, I don't have it right now. And guess what else I played yesterday that you didn't play? But I have now, for future reference, I have it as its own little sound file. And I played it on the show yesterday. Was you playing your harmonica and guitar. It's a very special way to end the show yesterday.
This little Labor Day, Memorial Day next year is not going to happen. I will do the show by myself next time. I will pull clips and I will play things. But yes, I know that you did play the clip of me. At least I wasn't singing. But the sheath cleaning song is going to be epic. We should release that.
Right, we should.
I mean,
we should.
It is.
You could
impressive.
You could do a musical accompaniment. Maybe when we're out. Oh, that would be good. When we're out there in Norco, because we're going out there, we're going to be together. You should bring your guitar, and we can mix it down and record it right there in Norco. They'll be so proud.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Definitely not.
All right, we have our first guest on the line. I don't want to hold her up. So let's get her on here. We have Debbie Metcalf from Net Posse coming on to talk to us about the flooding in the Northeast and what's going on up there. So let's say good morning to Debbie. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Good. Thank you so much for coming on such short notice to talk to us about this. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of people in the country that don't even realize this is happening and what's going on. So we thought it was important to bring you on to tell us about it.
You know, it really is surprising because, you know, working with this myself, I didn't know what was going on. I don't even think I've seen the TV, to tell you the truth. I've been so glued to these computer screens in front of me.
Right.
I don't even think I've seen it on the computer except for working with the horses.
You know, the only place I've seen it, and Jamie, Jennifer, and I, we look at every news story that comes out literally about a horse in this country, and I have not seen any coverage of it at all in the mainstream press. So why don't you tell us what exactly is going on up there in New York?
Well, in New York right now, you know, because of the flooding from Hurricane Irene, there are quite literally places where towns have been washed away. And the horses are running loose. You know, of course, there's devastation with people, you know, the things that always happens with flooding. But as far as what we're talking about here in relation to the horses, you know, and the livestock, you know, what's left of them, you know, along the flood routes, they're running loose. Nobody knows whose horses belongs to who. It's real total confusion. And this is, again, separate from human. You know,
right.
I'm
right.
Not addressing that at all because that's a totally separate issue. But, you know, there's sightings of horses here and there, and it's just total confusion. And we're trying to get people to send us pictures of the horses that they see so that we can put them on our website and match them up with the people that own them. And, of course, with Leland Neff's horses, he lost 22 horses in the flood.
Let me read a little bit, if you don't mind, Debbie. Just read a little bit of an article about Leland so people get an idea of the scope. Horse owners are rallying in support of Leland Neff, who is desperately searching for 22 horses swept away in the flooding by Hurricane Irene. Neff, a well-known fashion photographer, is devastated by the loss of the horses from bloodlines he had gathered from all over North America in the past 10 years. The horses, some of them named after his family, were grazing in a 90-acre pasture on a 150-acre farm on August 28th when the creek near his house rapidly rose, fed by runoff of Hurricane Irene. Neff could do little as the water rose on his farm, and basically the pastures were under 10 feet of water. And the horses were washed downstream. And he has four of the horses survived that were found the next day by his home, but 22 remain missing. And is it still 22?
It is still 22. It is
still 22.
And Leland's not the only one missing them. And most people don't know that there's help out there, out here like us, that we have a wonderful helper with Michelle that's running Evacuations East, and then the Leonard Neff rescue page on Facebook. And there's, you know, we're here to help. And we, you know, we have another person that has a horse named Cowboy from Greene County. And in this particular person's case, they lost their house.
Wow.
And they are still looking for Cowboy. And they did see that their horses were standing on the other side on a like a rock or something. It's hard to tell, but they were able to recover two horses out of four. They did find one of their pony dead, and now they're missing a bay Morgan named Cowboy. And they think Cowboy is alive because they did see some signs of a horse that had been running around after they had recovered the two horses alive. So they think that Cowboy made it. But where is Cowboy?
Well, we should say, too, that where this is, it's fairly rural, and there's a lot of trees, a lot of woods in this area. This is not all open farmland up there. So, you know, you're right. Horses could run around for a while before anybody would notice them in the woods. And they're saying that some could have been swept up to 40 miles away down
exactly.
The river.
And the flood was so – the river was – well, it was a river when the water came down the creek – was rushing so fast that, you know, we do know that there's some horses in some areas that didn't make it, but we don't know whose they are. And there's no, you know, there's so many sightings of this or that, and nothing's confirmed yet because of the roads are out. I mean, it's like a war zone there. And this is not on the news. It's, you know, we're hearing, information from people who are living it, you know, when we're talking to them, and you can see something just across the way a little bit, but you can't get to it. It takes you an hour to get there because you have to go through too many roadblocks because roads are out. It's horrible. And we do have a video up on our website of three horses that are roaming loose you know, it's we're trying to find the owners for them to let them know that, yes, your horses are alive. And we now have another picture. I think it's the same horses now have paired up with another horse. And so they're kind of finding each other, I think. But the owners are so devastated that maybe they don't even know where the horses is. It's just crazy. Even under the best of situations, when horses are missing, just get out. It's hard to locate the owner and put them with the horses. And in this situation, we need all the help that we can get. But we ask that, you know, you come through us to do it so we can coordinate things.
Well, and I'm sure it's difficult, too, because a lot of these owners don't have internet right now. They don't have power. They don't have phones. You know, they don't have anything. And as you said, a lot of the roads are washed out. Their towns are isolated. My brother lives in Connecticut, and he got power for the first time in 6 days since the storm in the morning Saturday, and the power was back out again by Saturday afternoon.
Right.
So, you know, and that's in Connecticut, and I'm sure that this story, we're talking about New York now, I'm sure this story is being replayed in Vermont, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts, and Connecticut, all over New England.
Oh, it is. And in one of, with the horses, what we ask people to do is, if you have a lost or found horse, you can come onto our site, and we are listing those horses for free. And we ask people to come there and print the flyers and post them because people don't have internet service, because people don't have electricity. You know, so you can put them up and they can see these posters around the communities and know that their horses are okay, or know that, hey, I found this horse and this is where this horse goes, because they don't have the communication system that they used to have. And we're doing all this for free for everybody.
I think it's obvious that the communication system is down, because everything I've heard, like reading any equine news, they're like, oh, no equine fatalities have been reported. Everybody escaped pretty well. But when I read this story about the guy with his 22 horses that are missing, it just breaks your heart. But it also lets you know how things are not being reported correctly, and how the word and communication in an area like this is failing because of the lack of power and the lack of electricity, and probably cell towers are down and nobody can seem to help each other out. So I think it's really important what you guys are doing. And so if somebody's listening that is in that area or can help, how do you suggest that they help?
I suggest that they help. There's lots of ways they can help, but that's a big one. Lots of people want to help. And when,
mm-hmm.
number one, if they see a horse that's running loose, take a picture of the horse. Send it to netposse.com. Go to netposse.com and send it to us at stolenhorse@netposse.com and identify where the horse was taken, the picture was taken, and identify themselves so that we can get that on our webpage. That, therefore, we can put that out into the public so people can see that the horse is okay. And we have a way of doing that. This is for the horses. That's the number one way. Report the lost and found horses to us, number one. That's the way you can help the horses. In just a few minutes, I can't even cover it all the way you can help. There are supplies that need to be taken to the owners, like Leland needs things right now. There's a Leland Neff flood horses that you can go to on Facebook. Michelle is running that organization. You can get in touch with Michelle on Leland Neff flood horses. There's evacuations east on Facebook. And, you know, the Bastrop County horses down in Texas right now need help. You know, with the fires, there's just all kinds of things that are going on right now that the horses need help. You know, when you ask me that question, you just filled my brain with, oh, my gosh. It just flooded it with all kinds of things, and I just can't even verbalize it, the help that's needed.
And I can tell, Debbie, in your voice that you started that posse as a way to find stolen horses, and it's become so much more than that, and I could just tell in your voice a little bit ago how overwhelmed you are this morning with everything that is going on right now.
Oh, gosh. I'll try to keep that out. I try to keep the emotion back, but I have been working 15, 16 hours a day since Irene hit. I've been working with Leland. I've been working with some other victims and talking to them on the phone. And this is a tragedy for the owners, for the people that are living this. And I'm not just talking to the horse owners. I'm talking to the people that have lost everything. And, you know, I'm sitting here in North Carolina, and I'm dry, and I'm safe. But I'm getting a taste of what they're going through there that the rest of the country is not. And so I'm living it with them. And I'm trying to not feel the emotion so I can work and do the best job I can for them. But it's hard. It's hard knowing that they're living in such conditions that they're living in. And that the horses are, you know, which we're focusing on here, are living like they're living, are going through some of the things that they're going through. And like right now, in Texas, the owners are evacuating and leaving their horses behind in the fire that's coming.
They are staging. We're supposed to be talking to Sammy Joe here this morning as a regular guest in our show. She is the zebra guru that we've had on, and she is down at the evacuation site now with her trailer staging, getting ready to evacuate horses when they're needed. And I know they are trying to get horses out. We've had friends that have had to evacuate their horses, and it does seem like through the help of Facebook, a lot of these people came together in Texas to help get the horses off of each other's farms. They all worked together, and they all coordinated through Facebook. So, you know, thank God there's that new technology is helping us in those areas that we never had before.
Well, I got an email this morning about the fires in Texas. So it said sheriff departments down in Magnolia, Bastrop, and surrounding areas where they are evacuating people are not letting anyone trailer the horses to safety. Can you try and help do something about that? There is absolutely no reason why horses have to be left behind when their owners want to get them to safety like their own families. These fires are getting very bad and loss of animal life will happen. Please help. And I'm sitting here reading this, and I get these emails, and, you know, I get these all the time. I've had over 3,000 emails since Irene.
Wow.
And
no wonder you're overwhelmed.
Yes, I mean, quite literally. And I'll read this, and I'm sitting here thinking, what can I do? What can I do? And I'm sure there's people in Texas that are doing everything they can, like you just talked about. And I read that, and one thing I can just keep telling people ahead of time, ID your horses, because when these situations, they hit, it's too late. You know, I've been on the show before, and I've told everybody you need to make sure you have permanent ID on your horses.
Okay, let's go through those real quick before we have to let you go and run out of time. Give us the ways that people can ID, because I think this is important for prevention. And let me, before you get to that, I just want to say thank you to you, because this is not something that you have to do, and you're certainly not making money doing it, or, you know, it's not making you famous. You're just, it's because you care. And you know, it's just so important to have people like you out there, and we really just want to thank you for all the work that you do for our equine friends and neighbors.
Well, I don't go to work every day. This is not a job for me. I love what I do, and if I go to bed at night knowing I help somebody, so I love what I do. And
well,
thank you.
Thank you. Aww. Big hug. So how can people ID their horses? How can people have a little bit of an ounce of prevention?
Well, the best thing ahead of time that always the horses always carry with them, it's that microchip. If that's their VIN number, and a horse can always be ID'd with a microchip. It's so easy. It's so cheap. You know, it's done. It's there. And, of course, if you know a disaster is coming, there's different ways you can mark your horses. You can put tags on the halters, but then a halter can be, you know, it can be lost. You can put tags and, you know, braid them into the horse's tail. You can take non-toxic paint and paint onto the horses. there's different things you know if you can do to the horses if you know something's going to happen. You can do a hoof ID, you know, a hoof brand, and put your telephone number or some other ID onto a horse's hoof. But then,
wow.
That's
I never heard of that one. That's new for me, actually.
Yeah, the breeding farm that I grew up right next door to, all of their horses were hoof ID'd.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What is it like? It's like a brand, only they just put it on the hoof?
Yeah. Yep. It is burned into their foot, and it lasts a year.
It lasts 6 months. You have to redo that every 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's, you know, again, that's why I go back to the microchip. You do that, and that's with the horse for life.
Right.
No matter, you know, if you're away from, like I have a friend right now who's in Hunt, Texas, but her community in Austin is being evacuated. She's not there. If she had horses, she would not be there to evacuate her horses.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you're in a situation like that, you can't mark your horses. So that's where her microchip would come into play.
So okay.
I agree, and I think what we're going to do here, maybe one of those specials we do the week we're gone, is I'll replay some of the, you've been on the show a couple of times, we'll replay some of those episodes and we'll make it all about prevention and helping to save our horses and get, you know, we always have constant new listeners here from around the world, and I think this is important no matter where you live, what country you live in, it doesn't really matter. The same problems exist in every country. We just happen to be talking about the United States right now. Thank you so much, Debbie, for being on. Can you give your website again? And also, I hate to give out your email address. You already have 3,000. Give your website again.
It's Stolen Horse International, and it's www.netposse.com. And again, if there's any animal that's related to a disaster, we will be listing those animals for free on the Internet and sending out alerts for them.
Okay. Thank you so much, Debbie, for everything you do. We appreciate you coming on this morning.
Okay. Thank you for having me. I hope it helps.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Debbie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now, there's a saint on earth right there.
There's a what?
There's a saint on earth right there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, she didn't have to do that. And you can just hear in her voice that she absolutely cares with every fiber of her being, and that's why she does what she does. So we definitely want to thank her. And everybody, check it out, netposse.com. I got to do the commercial before we get to our next guest, Glenn, but we would like to thank Pfizer for being a sponsor for today's show. At Pfizer Animal Health, they're passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. Their expanded equine product portfolio includes the trusted Strongid C2X, West Nile Innovator, the Innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. Protect your horse against upper respiratory disease such as equine influenza virus and equine herpes virus strands 1 and 4. From the Fort Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, adjuvanted with Metastim technology for an improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. That's P-F-I-Z-E-R, AnimalHealth.com.
Thank you, Jamie. We appreciate Pfizer being a continuing supporter here on Horses in the Morning. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Jamie Jennings and my wife, Coach Jen. We're waiting for our next guest to come on here. We're very excited to have her on. But before we do that, let's just, you know, I was thinking out loud here a little bit.
Did you see what I posted on Facebook, Glenn?
I did see that, and that's what I wanted to comment on. Apparently, a few people are of my vintage and remember Wolfman Jack. There's a lot
I'm
of
amazed.
On
I'm
he
amazed.
Always...
Oh, what?
I was going to say the Doug Emerson. I love his comment. He exactly. See, Rick Conley says he had a very distinctive voice that could be described as sounding like he had a mouthful of gravel. That's exactly what he sounded like. And he used to do a midnight show, and he used to do a morning show for a long time on radio, traditional radio. And I think he used to have a midnight show as well. But look at all that. We have 20 comments on there from people who are thinking back and remembering Wolfman Jack now. And who was it that wrote that I look like him, by the way? Was that my wife?
No, that was me. I had to find this picture, and I look at the picture, I'm like, gosh, he does kind of look like Glenn, obviously without the big, giant 80s hair.
Yeah.
But he does.
Without the bouffant hairdo.
But the beard and all that, I mean, come on. He kind of looks crazy.
He was kind of crazy, actually. He was one of those. He was one of those typical gravelly voice DJs from the 70s. All right, it looks like Donna is ready for us now.
Oh, okay, great. Well, Donna Barton Brothers is on the show with us today to talk about her new book, Inside Track, An Insider's Guide to Horse Racing. And you guys, for some reason, you're hearing that name. If you've been living under a rock and you can't place the name with the person, if you watch the Kentucky Derby, Donna is the one who is lucky enough to gallop on out on the racetrack to the winner and escort them back and interview them from horseback. Probably by far the coolest job ever. I thought this job was cool. No, Donna Barton Brothers wins. Her job is way cooler. So let's say good morning to Donna. How are you?
I'm well, Jamie. Thank you. And Glenn, good morning to you. And yeah,
good morning, Donna.
I admit I have a cool job. I like it. I'm not complaining. One time I met when we went over for the World Equestrian Games in 2006 in Germany, I met Princess Haya, who is, of course, the president of the FEI. And she said, Oh, I know who you are. You ride out and interview the winning jockey after the Kentucky Derby. She said, you have a really cool job. And I said, likewise, Princess Haya. Thank you, though. So that was
the princess
cool.
Is complimenting you. That's nice. Well, I have actually seen you now a lot more than just at the Kentucky Derby. I mean, you're everywhere. It seems like you're at every horse event. Glenn and I were watching the show jumping at Rolex, and there's Donna down there in the stadium on the arena dirt. So what are you, how are you getting insider on everything now?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not going to write any books called Inside Track on eventing. I had a pretty sharp learning curve when I went to eventing, and also, you know, to cover the World Equestrian Games. Luckily, I don't need to know the sport intimately. Melanie Smith Taylor is our person who's there with the play-by-play person, and you know, Melanie Smith Taylor knows most of those events intimately. I need to know enough to be able to be conversational and interview the winning competitors afterwards. But eventing is intriguing to me, and I like it. And so I'm a fan of eventing, which makes me a little bit more well-versed in that, but not enough to write a book on it still.
So that, and you would probably definitely not write a book on dressage.
Definitely not. Actually, I just it took me a little while to embrace dressage because,
Me too, Donna. Me too.
Yeah, my introduction was eventing level dressage, which isn't exactly, yes, thank you.
Cool. It was cool dressage as opposed to going on Saturday morning to the local walk, trot, canter classes. So, yeah, it could be a little bit different, I would imagine.
Yeah, so then finally I got to see the Grand Prix level, and I compare it to, like, watching third grade band versus the Philharmonic. Completely different. But I even took a couple of dressage lessons to try to really get to understand the discipline better and embrace it. And because of that, I do understand it better, and I do embrace it, but probably more upper-level dressage than venting level, I would say.
Unfortunately, you have to start somewhere, right?
Correct. I still think it's impressive, though. I've already said I'm a fan of the eventing horses. I think it's impressive that those horses can do that and then go out and do the cross-country and then the third day come back in and not have a rail down. I'm pretty amazed. But, you know, maybe they're a little bit of a jack-of-all-trades, but they have mastered the trio of those better than any of the dressage Grand Prix level ever would.
Right. Well, I would imagine that being a former jockey and kind of living around the racetrack, which is full of excitement and thrills, that going to a dressage show would kind of be like watching paint dry.
I like the Grand Prix level. I mean, like everybody else, Moreland Totalis was fascinating to me at the World Equestrian Games, and just to see him in person, I was awestruck. And that Spanish horse in Fuego, is that his name?
Oh yeah, with the freestyle.
Yeah, that was jaw dropping. So yeah, at that level, it's not like watching paint dry. But yeah, I don't necessarily get to the when I cover the Rolex 3-day event. I don't necessarily get there on Thursday to watch the first round of dressage. I just hear about it later.
So, Donna, with all the riding that you've done, have you ever tried your hand in the sport of eventing?
No, and I never will. I think it's dangerous, and I think it needs to be left to people who are young enough to not notice the dangers of it. As you mentioned, as a former jockey, obviously I didn't mind the dangers either, but at some point... Yeah, at some point, I don't know if you hit a certain age or you get a certain number of accidents behind you, but at some point, I just recognized all of a sudden that this was a dangerous occupation, and I became less thrilled by it, and that's when I retired. I feel like I have a little bit of been there, done that, I've had the adrenaline rush, and I understand the thrill of it, but I'm not seeking that anymore.
Donna, I think it's when you wake up in the morning and things hurt when you get out of bed first thing in the morning, when you realize they're going to hurt a lot worse if I do something really stupid today.
Exactly. And on the racetrack, you do that, and you have to be at the track at about 5:30 in the morning. So you wake up at 4:30 in pain and know that you get a day off on Christmas. So, yeah, it's less fascinating after a while.
Well, tell us about your book. It's called Inside Track, Insider's Guide to Horse Racing. Mm-hmm. So is this about betting? What's the book about?
Well, what happened was I married a horse trainer, Frank Brothers, and who actually has since retired. But I recognized when I was around a lot of the owners that there were owners who were passionate about the sport of horse racing, but somewhat alienated from their family and friends who just didn't like horse racing. And then the more I was around those family and friends, when they would come for the big races, I realized that it's not that they understood horse racing and didn't like it, it's that they just didn't understand it. And it can be pretty hard to understand and to wrap your arms around. And especially, a day at the races without placing a bet isn't fun even for me. I mean, if I'm going to be at the races all day, I'm probably going to place a couple of wagers because it gives you more of a reason to pay attention. But for somebody to go out there who doesn't know anything about horses and horse racing and just start wagering, they usually donate money. And that's not that fun, So this is about, first of all, going to the track. If somebody says, hey, why don't you go to the races with me? We're going to go on Saturday. Well, unless you know exactly where they're seated and exactly – you've been there before, you don't even know what to wear. So it's a little bit like getting an invitation to a party that you want to go to with people that you kind of know, but it doesn't say attire on the invitation, So chapter one is, what do you wear? What do you take with you is chapter two. Chapter three is finally how and when to bet. Four, watching the race and what to look for. Just because I think that it's easier to pick this up, it's 100 pages, and leaf through it and get a grasp then go out there and feel completely lost and have to ask people a bunch of questions.
I think this is a fantastic idea. It's almost the outsider's guide to horse racing but it's going to make you an insider. You're right. Every time I've gone to Keeneland or something like that, I'm like, okay, what do I wear? And do you offer any advice in your book on how not to just bet on the prettiest horse and how to bet on one that might actually win something?
Well, actually, it's funny you should say that, Jamie, because I think a lot of times people bet on, they study they finally learn how to read the racing form, they study the past performances a little bit. And one of the things I say is, you know what? There's guys who've been studying this racing form for 30 years and lose money every day. I mean, that's not the only reason to bet on a horse. A lot of the reason is based on current condition, how are they today? And so I think that if you combine the two, get to understanding, the past performances a little bit better. Or even if you go Well, okay, the three horse is 2-1 and has the leading jockey on it, you know, and so I think I'm going to bet that horse. And then you walk down to the paddock and you go, gosh, that two horse doesn't, or the three horse doesn't look very healthy. So you change your mind. And so I think that having an eye for a horse, like you already have, Jamie, and Glenn, you also have an eye for a horse, it really gives you a leg up. But, yeah, you want to combine that with the past performances. You don't just want to go, well, that's the prettiest one. Because, yeah, the prettiest one doesn't win in thoroughbred racing.
Yeah. They win in dressage
and
later.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's my problem is I'm like, oh, he's so pretty. He would make the best event horse. I'm going to bet on him. And then I just make donations, like you said.
Right. And then they gallop around there and last. And then they're hard to pull up after the race, which shows that you're right. They do have endurance, and they would probably be great at eventing, but not this.
Yeah, definitely not. Well, Donna, so what are some of the other chapters in your book? And again, you said it's about 100 pages. So this is actually something you could slip in your purse mm-hmm. on the way to the racetrack and take with you and, you know, and kind of peek through while you're sitting there about to make a bet.
Yeah, on purpose, I had to make it in a paperback laminated so that you could put in your purse or a fellow could put in his back pocket. So chapter 5 is after the race, and so it's sort of like, okay, what happened? Did you win? Did you lose? If you won, do you celebrate? The answer is yes.
Yeah, because there's so little of that.
Yeah, and if you lose, it gives you some top excuses to blame it on so that you don't have to shoulder the blame all by yourself, you know? Like, you can always blame the jockey, or the best one is blame it on the track because nobody can ever prove you wrong. Like, you can just say, he obviously did not handle the track today, and then how do you prove that wrong?
Oh, my gosh. You give us a list of excuses? Oh, the track was cuppy. I don't know what that means, but everybody always says the track was too cuppy. And so
perfect.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, use it. Definitely. And there's even a chapter on Are Horse Races Fixed? Because I get that question a lot, and you'll just have to read the chapter. There's a chapter on jockeys. Who are these little people? Trainers. How do you train a horse? Owners. You know, where do they come from? A whole chapter for the Kentucky Derby alone because, you know, we make a lot of fuss over that one race. And then there's just a couple other chapters, just names you should know. And then there's even a reference guide in the back where if you read this and you go to the races and you're like, okay, I really like this, but I want to know more about Secretariat. Well, there's a whole reference guide on books on great racehorses, books on jockeys, advanced guides on wagering. This is just the Zagat's guide, essentially. If you want,
is it somewhere in there? Tell me how to read the darn program you were talking about.
Yeah, in a way it does, Glenn. There's a link at the Daily Racing Forum's website that will teach you how to read that. And so it tells you how to get to that link so that you can learn how to read past performances.
Because, you know, I finally decided one day after going to all the races we went to and trying to flub my way through reading the form to actually go look at what it really means, and I had it all backwards.
Oh.
So it really wasn't helping me at all. By the way, after I found out that I had it all backwards, it still didn't help me. But at least then I knew I was reading it right.
Yeah, so you added, like, a higher element of needing racing luck. You needed to be, like, really, really, really
lucky. Oh, and I'll tell you, Donna, I have won trifecta twice in my life because I get bored just playing betting for one horse. That just bores me. So I do the exactas and the trifectas, and I actually won twice in my life, and both times they paid, like, $40. It was,
I'm sorry about that. That's a little
I know. I don't win the one that pays thousands. I win the trifecta that pays $40, $60.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That happens sometimes.
Donna, we're going to get to where everybody can pick up this awesome book of yours because I think everybody should have one if they're at all interested in racing or learning more about it. But I've got to ask you because we talked at the beginning about what a cool job you have. What is your biggest, like, wow moment where you're sitting there and you're like, I cannot believe that I am doing this right now. Do you have one?
Well, no, not really, just because of the fact that I have to stay in the middle of what I'm doing, obviously to keep things conversational. So I can't really like step back and go, like, this is really cool. But there have been lots of times when afterwards I've said, that was really cool. And, you know, even Jesus Castaneda when he won the Preakness this year, you know, like dedicating the race to his father who passed away in November. Mm. It's just nice to be a part of that. When Mike Smith won the Derby in, I think it was 2005 on Giacomo. It might have been earlier than that. But anyway, Mike and I kind of grew up together. My mother actually tended bar in a bar that his grandfather owned. And so we played together when we were kids. And, you know, before they ever came to us, for me to be able to be there with my good friend Mike after he won his first only Kentucky Derby, you know, it was like to be there with a very good friend the moment after the most special career moment of their life. And so that was really cool. And then, of course, you know, Calvin is always, the audience always loves Calvin, and he's very likable. And he's not just that way on TV. He's also very likable in real life. And so it's always nice to celebrate a Derby win with Calvin.
Oh, what a bunch of cool stories. I didn't know you and Mike grew up together.
Oh, well, we knew each other when we were kids, and then we didn't go to school together or anything. And then when I started riding in 1987, actually it was later when I had my apprenticeship in 1988 that I saw Mike at Canterbury Downs. We were both riding up in Canterbury Park, I'm sorry, in Minnesota. And he really took me under his wing and helped me a lot and gave me riding advice and would tell me when I did something stupid and tell me I was an idiot for it, which other people weren't doing for me. I mean, they were willing to cuss me, but they weren't willing to, like, say, and here's how you could do it better, you know? So, yeah,
gotcha.
We went back. It was nice.
That's great. What a cool thing.
Can I ask you a question? Getting back to, you said there's a chapter in here on jockeys, mm-hmm. and I don't think we've ever asked you this before. When you're on the horse before the race, and you've probably maybe ridden that horse, you know, in warm-up and things like that, do you have a feeling when you're a jockey sitting in there that I'm going to win this race today? This is my race today? Or is you just don't even have time to go there?
Well, I'll tell you what. I told Wayne Lucas once, Wayne Lucas is one of the most famous thoroughbred horse trainers of all time, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and I said to Wayne, do you know what I hate about riding for you? Which is not a great way to start a conversation with a Hall of Fame horse trainer. But he said, no, why don't you tell me? And I said, because your horses look so good and feel so good when I'm on them in the post-parade. They have such this just throbbing life force and energy and desire, and you can feel their competitive spirit, and they're in such beautiful health. That every time I'm on one of your horses, I know I can't get beat. And sometimes I get beat, and that bothers me. And so anyway, he saw that it was actually a backhanded compliment. But there are times whenever you feel like your horse is getting ready to run the race of his life. But at the end of the day, you also have 10 other riders on horses that might be feeling the same way. And so you still have to, you know, have a strategy in mind and also be willing to go to plan B. But, sure, there are times whenever, and especially when you're on a roll as a jockey, like let's say you've won 3 already today and you won 2 the day before, you do start to feel like you have momentum that can't be stopped.
All right. Go ahead, Glenn. Sorry.
No, that's good. That answered that question. Thank you.
That was a great answer. I can't imagine saying that to Wayne Lucas. Like, hey, you know what I really feel about you? Let me tell you.
Yeah.
But it is a compliment in a way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're getting close to running out of time, and I want to make sure that we are able to tell everybody where to get this book. It's, again, Donna Barton Brothers, Inside Track, The Insider's Guide to Horse Racing. Take it with you to the racetrack, and, you know, she guarantees you'll win more money.
Okay, so go to exclusivelyequine.com, and that's a bit of a mouthful, but it's just exclusivelyequine.com, and you can get it there. And it is, if you go to Amazon, you'll see it there, but the distributor is not releasing it until November. So if you can wait until November 1st, you can go to Amazon, but you can get it right now on exclusivelyequine.com.
That's my Christmas present, Glenn. Write that down.
All right, I got that. I got it.
All right. Donna, thank you so much. It is always just an absolute pleasure having you on our show. And when next time I see you down at Rolex, I'm going to start heckling you and yelling at you and tell you, and waving at you. And
yeah, that's fun. I'm used to it. Well, you guys are always fun. I enjoy listening to you when I'm not on. And thank you, Jamie. And thank you, Glenn.
All right. Thanks, all right. Donna.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. She's the coolest ever.
I know, and she listens to us. And she really does, because I'll get comments occasionally from her. So she really does listen occasionally. That's great. I can't wait to see this book. I need all the help I can get when it comes to going to the races.
You certainly do, but I want to rewind a little bit and go back, and I would like for you to edit a part of this interview, and
okay.
I would like you to email it to me and send it to me, and I'm going to make it my ringtone. And that is Donna Barton Brothers telling me that I have an eye for horses. That's
right, people. Yeah, but then but hold it. But then she followed up with I do too, so that just shot yours to hell.
Yeah, you were an afterthought, though. She was like, uh-oh, I've complimented Jamie. I better compliment Glenn, too. She should have said, Jamie, you have an eye for horses, and Glenn, you have an eye for driving ponies.
And big fat draft horses.
So cool. Yeah, I want you to take that, because that might be, like, the coolest thing ever, as Donna
okay.
Barton Brothers telling me that I have an eye for horses.
All right, we'll take
He's
that
lying,
one out.
But it's just cool. I can live with a lie.
All right, let's take a little break for a song, and then we're going to come back with more news for you, as well as we're hoping to get a couple of, or maybe one or two guests from Texas who are on the scene of the fires down there.
She
so we're going...
just sent me a message. Hold up. She says that Glenn has an eye for chocolate cake.
This is appropriate song for today here in Lexington, Kentucky, and all over the East. When It Rains, It Pours by Marianne Kennedy. We'll be right back with more.
Superhost. They rain.
and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Glenn played that for everybody who's getting dumped on with rain right now, and of course that is Lexington, Kentucky. How long has it been raining in Lexington, you said?
3 days. Had about 3 days of rain here, but yeah, when you know my friends down in Louisiana, Michelle and down at the Wright Lead Equestrian Center, said they had 8 inches in about a day. They had 8 inches of rain from the storm that came up through the middle of the country. So they were getting dumped on too, and now the whole north. And unfortunately, this is all trending up to the northeast where we were talking about all that flooding. They're going to get a bunch more rain too.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they can send it on out here because it was supposed to rain last night potentially. So we got out there and we covered the hay and we did all the stuff we were supposed to because our hay sits out. Because why would we cover it? Because
it doesn't matter,
maybe,
yeah.
You know, 4 days a year. And so we went to cover the hay and no rain. Didn't get anything. It'd be nice, though. Send it my way. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning today, brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health. I got to finish the business. Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I was just going to say the comments still keep coming in on Wolfman Jack. There's a lot more people that know about Wolfman Jack. And that also shows the age of our listening audience, I think.
Absolutely. I know. I offended one of our listeners. Doug posted on there, yeah, basically, thanks for reminding me how old I am, jerk. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well. And that also reminds us how very young, what a puppy you are.
I'm not a puppy, though. I'm just not, you know, your age.
We have a lot of news to get to today, and not all of it's disaster related, but we're also hoping to get a call or two from Texas here, people that are on the scene. So we'll interrupt whenever we get those calls, and we'll Jamie, I'll let you know if somebody pops in here. But, you know, we talk, let's start on a very light note today, Jamie. We talk a lot about...
Oh, me, I want to do it.
Okay.
I wanted to do this story so bad because we were talking about this last week. I'm assuming you're talking about the Hampton Classic.
Yes. You can do it.
Yes. We were talking about this a week or so ago, and I remember telling you that I went to the Hampton Classic years ago in a working fashion. I was not actually competing at the very prestigious Hampton Classic. Now, this is a huge hunter jumper show in Bridgehampton, New York. It's at almost the end of Long Island, and it is money. I mean, it's like instead of grass on the field, there's actually dollar bills. Like that is how prestigious and rich and dripping with celebrities and money this place is. It's amazing. But of course, I was a stall cleaner, so I was just making, you know, $4 an hour. But when I went to the Hampton Classic, there was certain celebrities like D-listers and C-listers, and I think that the most famous person was Randy Quaid, which is the, you know, Uncle Eddie from all of the National Lampoon movies. So Uncle Eddie was there, and he was the biggest and most famous celebrity that was at the Hampton Classic the year I was there. However, this year...
That's not the reference I would have used, but...
What do you mean? Randy Quaid is Uncle Eddie? Everybody knows who he is. He's like, come on, Will Clark. I'll just pull up my RV right out in front. You got a bathroom I can use? I mean, come on. Uncle Eddie is makes Christmas Vacation. Anyway, so what reference would you have used?
I don't know. He was in a bunch of movies along the way. He was in a ton of movies. He's one of those character actors that you saw in a ton of Caddyshack. He was in Caddyshack, I remember.
No, he was not.
He was, too. He was in the second Caddyshack movie.
Caddyshack 2.
Yep, I remember him in that. Paper Moon, if you want to go back a long way. He was in that movie. Do you remember that he and his wife were arrested in 2009?
No.
They were arrested in Texas, if I remember right, for fraud. It was fraud and burglary or something. It was something to do with a hotel bill, if I remember right. He was arrested. I don't know what ever happened to that. I don't know if he ever ended up doing any jail or anything. But
Well, this is a very weird tangent to be on, talking about...
Well, you got me on Randy Quaid. And oh, Independence Day. That's the most popular one.
Dude, okay, hold up. We're going to have to do a Facebook post. What is Randy Quaid most famous for? Is it Independence Day or is it Uncle Eddie on National Lampoon's with Chevy Chase?
I think Independence Day was a classic, Independence Day.
No way. I'm sorry. When he's like, well, Clark, no, there's nothing but when he shows up at their house for Christmas or backing up to the European vacation and they go and visit Uncle Eddie in the desert when they're driving out to Wally World and he starts cooking eggs on the rocks. I'm it's just nothing better when he's like flushing his septic into their sewer and their
you
front
know,
yard.
You know and remember way too much about the movies, those particular movies. Way too much.
Oh my gosh. Fantastic. Anyway, we'll have to post that on Facebook. Okay, what is Randy Quaid more famous for? His part in the vacation movies or in Independence Day? I think I'm going to win. Post a picture of him dressed as Uncle Eddie. We'll sway it a little bit, Jennifer. okay, but anyway, back to the original topic, Glenn. So when I went there, he was the most famous. They actually had a super famous person at the Hampton Classic this year, and that was 10-year-old Sasha. 10-year-old Sasha entered two classes with her pony. I don't know the name of her pony, but it's probably like Snowflake or something. But Sasha just missed out on a ribbon for the top three places. She came in fourth in one class, seventh in another, so she was in the ribbons. But we don't know who Sasha is, but we do know who her daddy is, and that is Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld was at the Hampton Classic to support his 10-year-old daughter and her pony. How stinking cute is that?
You know, it seems to be happening, too. It seems to be a thing, you know, stars go through these phases of what they're into, and it seems to be a phase right now that your kids ride. That seems to be a phase, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem that way?
Well, we just did the story on Brad Pitt buying ponies for all 47 of his kids. So, yeah, it seems to be little bit popular right now. But
you
that's
got
great for the community.
You know, you got Springsteen, you got Bloomberg. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of them out there right now.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, because it's the greatest thing in the world is riding horses. So I'm glad everybody in the Hollywood is catching on.
And, Jennifer, I just posted a phone number for you to give a call to Sammy Jo at. She's in Texas on the scene down there, and she apparently is having trouble getting through to our number. So if you could give her a call and get her on the line, we'd appreciate that. Also, some other news out there right now is some good news, actually. In the midst of Hurricane Irene, there is another group of horses. And I want to know, Jamie, if you've ever heard of this group of horses. They're called the Shackleford horses. And they're on the banks of an island out on North Carolina, and it's called the Shackleford Banks. And there's a group of about 100 horses. Everybody here always hears about the ones on Assateague and Chincoteague Islands, but they don't ever hear about the Shackleford horses. Have you ever heard of them?
The only Shackleford horse I've ever heard of is the one that won the Preakness this year.
Different group. These are a lot smaller.
Okay.
But there's about 118 of them, apparently, that 116 of them that live on the Shackleford Banks, and they have accounted for all of them after Hurricane Irene, and the day after Irene hit, there was a baby born, so now there's 117. So a new baby out there on the banks in North Carolina of the Shackleford horses. So there you go. That's a good thing that happened
that
there. And we have Sammy Jo on the line here, I think. So let's get Sammy on with us right now. Thank you so much for coming on such short notice, Sammy.
Oh, no problem. How are you today?
Good. Now, are you on the scene there? Tell us what happened and why you're where you are.
Yeah, I am just out of Bastrop, Texas, in a town called Elgin, and we are, this is the staging area for the evacuated animals from this huge forest fire. Right now, it's actually a wildfire. Right now, there's about 25,000 acres that have been burned. More than 500 houses have been burned down, and there are lots of animals that we are taking in and evacuating, and it's kind of chaotic around here.
Now, you went down just out of the goodness of your heart. This is, what, a couple hours from where you live? Is your farm is not in jeopardy at this point?
No, no. I'm about 2.5 hours away, but as soon as I got here, I heard that there were 2 more fires that cropped up about 20 miles from my house. But
oh.
Luckily, it's all fine and doesn't look like my place is in danger at all. So it's just crazy down here.
Now we heard a report from a guest we had on earlier in the show that the sheriff's department down there in that county where you are is not allowing you to take your horses out. Is that true or?
No, people are taking their animals out, but if it's something where they have already closed a road or closed an area, once that area is closed, you can't go back in it. So this fire is really going crazy, and so we're getting calls to go and help. And like last night, we got a call in the middle of the night for a donkey that was going down the road, and unfortunately that donkey was in one of the restricted areas, and we couldn't get close enough to rescue it. So I hope it made it out. But right now we have about 75 horses, about 50 head of cows, some donkeys, a couple of geese, some chickens, some goats, just all kinds of different animals here that we're taking care of. And it's a lot. A lot of these horses came from rescue groups, and so there's a lot of them that are special needs, and they've already been rescued once, so we're doing it again.
Right, right. I know our friend from Lope, actually had to bug out as well with all of her rescued horses. I don't know if she's where you're at.
We have quite a few of the horses from Lope here.
Okay, so Lynn's probably around there as well, and she's a friend of ours here on the Horse Radio Network as well. Well, you're doing a good thing, and so is at this point you're just hanging out until you're told where to go? Is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. And we're taking care of the animals that are here and the horses that are here. And, you know, this is a great reminder for people to always be prepared. You know, disaster preparedness, you can't ever be too prepared. And going out there and finding horses that, you know, they can't get in the trailer or, you know, they're not halter trained or, you know, they're having issues. And sometimes, you know, a good motto for the day is help the ones you can and let the rest go. You know, you're going to kill yourself if you sit here and worry about the ones that you couldn't save. And there's one incident here where we got a foal, got in the trailer just fine, but the mare would not get in the foal and the fire was coming. We had to leave the mare. And, you know, that's all we could do. It was either, you know, lose everybody or save what we could. So this is, you know, having good ID on your horses, whether it's, you know, taking cow ear tags, writing your name and phone number, and putting it in the horse's manes. That's a great way to identify them. Collars, halters, things like that are all great ways to identify them.
Wow!
Have you ever seen anything like this before?
I've been around quite a few wildfires and things, but this one here, just the volume of animals that are coming out of here, and there's a lot of them, and there's so many people that are displaced, and you know, thousands of people have evacuated. This particular fire, it's going through heavily populated areas, and so it's just sweeping through these huge subdivisions and a lot of these horse communities, and it's just taking out everything in its path. So it's just the volume of it is pretty crazy.
Wow.
So the question on everybody's mind is, so Jennifer and I were both thinking at the same time, is Sammy, is there any way that anybody can help? How can people help with this rescue? Because there's
nobody that
likes to help more than horse people. I mean, we are a community and we always band together.
Well, when I came in at last night, just before dark, there was about 40 horse trailers sitting here waiting to go pick up animals. But this came at a really bad time because there's such a hay shortage. I mean, I know for me to get my hay this year was a huge challenge. And so now we've got all these animals here. And people, we're getting the animals out, but we're having to leave the hay. And so people are losing all of their hay. And, you know, something where with this drought situation, there's not a lot of aid for horse people and getting hay. And it's been such a challenge for that. Now we've got all these horses here. We've got people dropping off hay and feed, but there's never enough hay. I brought some of my hay, but, you know, I'm very limited on what I can bring. I've had to go up north and have it shipped in. So.
And we heard that the price of hay in Texas has gone to like $120, $150 a round bale, which is normally 30 or 40. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I bought my hay for $40 for a round bale last year, and it's $150 this year. It is absolutely ridiculous. And the hay that's around here that's for that price, it's not very good hay. You have to ship it from out of state if you're going to get any decent hay. I posted a map on my Facebook the other day where now 100% of Texas is in an extreme or greater drought, with 95% of it being extreme or exceptional. It's an incredible drought.
And here we are in Lexington, just had 10 inches of rain over the last 3 days, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. They've not seen a drought like this since the 50s, and the record-breaking heat as well. We had, you know, some places are, you know, more than 40 days of 100-degree weather with no rain, and it's, you know, it's a tinderbox out here. You're looking, driving out here around Bastrop, there's a lot of, I think they're a type of oak tree, but they're not very tall trees, but that's all there is. Well, it looks like somebody just came out here and poisoned them all. They're all dead and brown and shriveled up, and so this is just a tinderbox for this fire, and it's just going. You know, it grew in 24 hours. The fire was already at 20,000 acres, so, I mean, it just went crazy.
Mm. And it was apparently aided by the wind from the tropical storm that hit the Gulf. Got none of the rain, but all the wind.
Yep. Yeah, the wind is just fueling it even more.
Well, before we let you go here and get back to your rescue efforts, I have a tiny bit of fun news for you. The town of Norco has invited us to come out, and guess who we're going to get to meet?
Oh, who's that?
Your friend from Zebra's Aura.
Ah, yes. She told me about that the other day, that she might get to meet you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're going out there. They've invited us to come out. We're supposed to get to meet her. And somebody's promising Jamie a ride on a zebra. So
we'll see.
So we're excited to meet her. And I knew you knew her because I know we had talked about her before.
Yeah. It's a pretty small world in the zebra community. So we all pretty much know each other.
I bet. All right. Thank you so much, Sammy Jo. We appreciate you being on.
All right, thank you very much.
Good work.
All right.
Great job.
Bye-bye.
That's Sammy Jo. She is the Zebra Guru. You can find her website at zebraguru.com. And what a kind heart. You know, she has a ton of animals at home. Matter of fact, when she was saying all the rescued animals that are on scene there, it sort of sounded like her farm, actually.
yeah, I think I heard, we definitely heard moos in the background, but Jennifer and I decided they sounded like baby moos.
Yeah, it did sound like that, didn't it?
Oh, baby cows, so cute. Okay, yeah, so you post a picture of Wolfman Jack, and you get 100 comments. You post a picture of Randy Quaid, and you get nothing.
Oh, there's one. There's one. Florence says either that or being a fugitive from justice. See, she remembers that, too, where he was he had a little legal trouble. Randy Quaid.
What movie was that?
No, that wasn't a movie. That was actually a fugitive from justice.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, if you Google Randy Quaid and you look for a photo, you do the image search, his mugshot comes up. So enjoy that. That's fun.
Hey, why don't you tell us who won Burley?
I know. I'm so excited about this because William Fox Pitt, his sixth Burley that he has won. He won his record sixth victory at Burley on Sunday on Park Lane Hawk. And so William Fox Pitt, who has also won Rolex, he's amazing, he's super tall, long legs, just a phenomenal rider, goes and wins Burley. But I think, while that's a great story, I think that the best story that came out of Burley, obviously the big four-star event that happened this past weekend over in Europe, is that Boyd Martin finished with Neville Bardos. And I think he came in, what was it, sixth place?
Seventh. Yep.
Boyd finished with a 53.7. He ended up having one rail and show jumping. And he and Neville Bardos were the top-placed United States riders, and to finish in seventh place at Burley is amazing. To finish Burley is amazing, and then to finish in the top 10 is amazing. But then to finish on Neville, which, if you guys remember, this is the horse that was stuck in Boyd's barn, in the barn fire, the longest. He was the last one that they were able to get out, and he suffered the most inhalation and smoke problems of any other horse. He was in the hospital the longest. And the fact that basically in like 6 weeks, He came back out of the hospital. They say that this horse is a fighter. Apparently, he's kind of hard to deal with. He cribs all the time. He's just kind of a, impression I get is he's kind of a big sassy grump, you know. And he goes out there after having the smoke inhalation and the burns and everything. He goes out there and finishes one of the hardest 4-star horse trials in the world. Goes out there and comes in 7th place. So, heads, this round of applause, Daily Winnie, Boyd Martin, and Neville Bardos, congratulations. Phenomenal job. I do want to remind you that if you did not have that rail in Stadium, Boyd, you would have been in 4th place. Because all eventers do the math.
You know what? I don't think he was too upset. If you go to Eventing Nation, there's a video. Scroll down and you'll see a video our friend Samantha did with him. And he was so happy after cross country, just having completed it after everything he's been through. Because if you remember right, his father died right after the fire, and then his wife's father died. His father-in-law died as well. So he's had a lot that they've gone through.
He's had like probably the most challenging year that one can have in their personal life, and I just think that, you know, to go out there and put that all aside and go out there and ride the horse that you thought you were going to lose, and to do that well, just to even complete it, just incredibly proud of him and of his horse and of his all of his people around him. He has a lot of sponsors. He's got a lot of people that own, he's got a syndicate that owns Neville too, and they were all there at the horse trial. So it was just a great victory for him, and I really hope that his year is about to turn around.
And a couple other notes from Burley is, you know, when we come to next year, at this time, actually, when the Olympics will be going on over there in London, you're going to see two teams, I think, that are going to be real competitors for the gold, and that is Great Britain and New Zealand. There were 4 New Zealanders that were in the top 10 at Burley. So
wow.
You had Andrew Nicholson, you had Caroline Powell, Jonathan Pageant, and you had Andrew Nicholson on a second horse. And then Mark Todd was down number 14, and Jonathan Pageant had a second horse, and he was number 12 on that. So they have a deep stable of horses to draw from, and I really think you're going to see New Zealand as a contender, and of course Great Britain. You know, you had William Fox Pitt in there, you had Mary King in there, Zara Phillips was number 10. Right after having her wedding, she came out and showed really well, didn't she? So.
She absolutely did. And, you know, we got to give a mention to Sinead Halpin, too, because she came in 15th, the second highest place U.S. rider and on Manoir de Carnville. And she did really well with him at Rolex, too. I think she came in third place behind Mary King's first and second. So she's having a fantastic year, too. It's an awesome horse, and hopefully we'll see them at the Olympics as well.
And I did want to mention the guest we had on, our surprise guest on Friday, Jessica Phoenix out of Canada, was on with us from Burley. And she came in 35th on Exponential. And I think she was pretty happy with that, actually, because, you know, he's fairly young and she's out there, you know, getting him used to all of this. So I think she was pretty happy with that. And it doesn't look like she had any faults in Stadium.
I'm sorry, but when you say getting him used to this, the fact that you can be getting a horse used to a 4-star course is just amazing. I mean, just to finish is amazing. But congrats to Jessica Phoenix, too. And I think they've got a great Canadian team, and they're going to have an awesome team for London.
One of the things that we covered a lot when we were doing the World Equestrian Games radio show is we covered Para, and one of the team to beat in Para in the Para Olympics in dressage was Britain, and they are going to be again. They just won European team gold. They had their first all-female foursome. They have a team of 4, and they won 5 of the 15 available medals in the individual tests, and they won the gold medal in team over there in Europe. So I think you're going to see Britain in there again in the Paralympics as well. The total 77 competitors from 17 countries represented at the European Para Championships.
And that's great. I think that's great. You definitely know a lot more about that than I do, but these people, the Paralympic team is just phenomenal. It's just amazing.
And I have a fun story here. Let's get back to a fun story. Jennifer found this, and it's kind of ironic because she's on Google. There's a way when you search for a thing, a topic or a story, that you can go back into the archives. Well, she did, and she found this story. You know how we always like to do the rescue stories? Well, that's not new. Back in December 14th of 1953, in the Talladega, Alabama newspaper, it says a retired workhorse and neighborhood pet named Maud was rescued from a 20-foot-deep cistern into which she tumbled 3 weeks ago. And Sunday, she was given a 50-50 chance of living. Ill with pneumonia after losing 400 pounds, Maud lay in a barn of her owner's, covered with blankets and stuff. She was in there for 3 weeks, but the part it doesn't tell us is why Maud was in there for 3 weeks. Oh, it says Maud was still alive in the cistern when he returned home. The horse had been located. Apparently, he was gone for a while. I don't know who was taking care of Maud. They don't go into a lot of details back in 1953, but they used a crane to get Maud out. After being, that's the longest that we've had a horse that needed rescue, 3 weeks.
Oh, first of all, poor thing. Okay, that's just horrible. 3 weeks. I don't even know what a cistern is, but it doesn't sound like fun. That's the first part. The second part is when you posted this story, I was thinking that you thought that this was a current news story because
no.
It's Maud in a cistern for 3 weeks up here on my page. And I'm like, I hope he realizes that this is actually from 1953 or whatever. But if he doesn't, I am going to make so much fun of him for thinking that this is a current story. And I'm going to make fun of you almost as much as I would make fun of you for doing this.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jack. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. And I think Jamie's going to love the dead song. This is Best We've Ever Heard.
We're going to be deleting that. We're going to be deleting that before tomorrow comes.
Keep it on there, baby. Keep it on. Well, this has been an awesome show. What an amount of information that we have absorbed, first of all, to go in from, you know, everybody, please go check out Equine Posse? No.
NetPosse.com.
NetPosse.com. Please, everybody, go and identify your horses. Get them a hoof mark or a microchip. Definitely.
Yep.
That's
got
to be easy. So I'm going to find out a little bit more about the microchips and if my local vet does that, because I think that's a great idea. And, of course, Donna Brothers is amazing, and she always is awesome on the show.
All right, great. Thank you very much, everybody. Good to talk to you again, Jamie. Go back to unpacking those boxes. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9 a.m. with more fun guests. And I think we'll be here the rest of the week, too. So don't forget to get your really bad ads in. We need you to get your really bad ads in for Friday. That's about it for today. I'm not forgetting anything, so we're good to go. We can say goodbye now.
Yeah, you did forget something. I can't find the music. I got to read Black Beauty. Where's Black Beauty?
Oh, no. Thank God. I deleted the music. It's gone. I'm sorry, Nigel, but no more Black Beauty introductions.
I'm devastated. I don't even know what to do with the rest of my day. I'm just going to have to get off the phone and start reading again.
Why don't
I'm
you
just
say
read
spay, neuter? I'll tell you what, I'll help you out. Say spay, neuter, and geld.
Everybody, please spay, neuter, and geld.
See you at Peeler.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I think Jamie's going to love the dead song. This is Best We've Ever Heard.
Bye.
Bye.